Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Beyond the legal chess match, there's something else happening in the courtroom of Corey Richens. 40 witnesses, text messages, jail calls, a boyfriend who broke down, crying on the stand. A life story Corey wrote about herself in the third person at a wellness retreat. That's another piece of evidence that's going to be introduced and discussed very soon as the defense takes the stand. The question isn't just what the evidence says, it's what the jury is actually absorbing. Bob Mata is with myself and Robin Drake as we continue to break down the case against Corey Richens. Let's talk about Corey and this letter that she wrote. She wrote basically her life story at a wellness retreat back in 2021 in third person. She described a marriage that emotionally exhausted her, a mother with a gambling addiction, a childhood that never really stabilized. I mean, it's heavy stuff. When I heard about this, when I started to look at it, my reaction was, well, there's the recipe. That's how you got Corey. That's how Corey is the way she is. A lot of instability, a lot of chaos. You bring somebody up in that environment. This is your odds of getting somebody like Corey, if she did it, are pretty high. I mean, at least to have, if she has, again, we can't diagnose her, but if we look at this from personality disorders and things of that nature, all of that is a recipe for exactly this, for the type of behavior that the prosecution is alleging that Corey was undertaking and behaving in. And then defense asked the whole document for it to come in, not just the redacted version. Let's talk about that, Bob. What does a jury actually do with that? Is this going to make her look more human, or does it frame everything that came after it?
I mean, it depends, yeah. Right? It depends on what the jury's already feeling about her, you know, mm-hmm. what they've already decided about her, you know, because it's like that thing with, every trial is the defense is always standing up during openings and asking the jury to please wait. The state has the opportunity. They have the ability, and they are the ones that always put their case on first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when people make up their minds, you know, and defense attorneys understand that, mm-hmm. you know, they're putting on their entire theory, you know? So it's like you're asking these jurors, all right, they're going to put on their case, you know? And the way I look at it is if a state puts on their case and they don't get to, you know, the end of their case in chief and it doesn't look like the defendant's guilty, well, then you fucked it, right? Yeah. I mean, like the defendant better look guilty at the end of the state's case in chief. Otherwise, they got a real problem with their case. So, you know, you tell them, look, You got to wait. We're going to give you context. We're going to fill in the gaps. Like, they're telling you what they think happened, and that's all it is. It's what they think happened. They weren't there. So depending on how they're feeling about Corey, it plays a lot of different ways. I mean, yeah. If they're feeling sympathetic, you know, like you said, T, it's like troubled childhood, you know, emotional,
yeah.
Absent, like an emotionally absent marriage that she clearly wasn't happy in. You know, she's a woman under pressure. You know, her entire childhood was probably not too dissimilar from a lot of people.
No.
You know, I mean, it was like, unfortunately, we have a lot of families that are just a mess mm-hmm. in this world. And like you said, humans are going to human and life is hard. And, you know, like everybody doesn't have a clean, easy path, you know, and all those things that happen during the course of your life mold you into the person that you're ultimately going to become. Does that mean that it turns you into a murderer? Not necessarily. Does it mean that it can? Yes, I'm sure it can.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I like to look at it and go, okay, well, it explains it. It's the recipe. It's part of what made this person to be the way they are. And we can look historically at other cases and go, oh yeah, this person who exhibits a lot of these same sort of characteristics, traits, and actions also had a very similar upbringing. I mean, it's certainly, I have empathy for it and I feel bad for anybody who has to go through it. It doesn't excuse the behavior though, at the end of the day. And obviously, no one's asking it to, but it to be introduced, I think it's fair. It makes sense. Everybody should have context as to what this person is, who this person is. It doesn't like, oh, you had a really horrible childhood and you were abandoned left and right by the people that you should have that you should have been able to trust, but they weren't there for you, which explains why you acted the way you did in so many ways. I'm not even saying murder. I'm just saying what we know about her actions in other ways. Again, doesn't excuse it, but it explains it, which is important for context. What is the back and forth here in this trial? Because there's been a lot of back and forth with some interesting statements coming from both Eric and from Corey. We've heard now that Eric had said to some friends, I believe family members, that, you know, if something happens to me, and I'm just paraphrasing, you know, look at her. I don't trust her. He was moving money around. He was moving beneficiaries with life insurance policies around because he didn't trust her. If something happens to me, look at her. She probably did it. And then we find out at the same point when he's saying this, well, guess who also starts saying this to people? Corey starts telling other people that if something happens to me, Eric did it. I mean, one has a backed kind of track record history of this looks kind of shady, like there would be a reason to say it. The other, not so much. I don't know. What's your take on this with both of them saying, if something happens to me, it's the other partner that did it?
I mean, to me, the takeaway is that this was a broken marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and broken in two different ways. I thought, kind of to dovetail back into that retreat journal letter thing she wrote.
Yeah.
You know, you had the friend who I thought was a powerful witness for Corey, mm-hmm. wherein she was talking about, you know, she really kind of brought to light the fact that Eric was very financially controlling. You know, and that Corey's in this marriage with three kids, and she feels extremely nervous about moving forward with the divorce because of the fact that Eric controls all the money, and she's looking ahead at what is that going to look like. Eric's going to live in the nice house. He's going to have the four wheelers and all the toys. Eric's going to essentially be living in Disneyland, and I'm going to be living in a fucking hovel. You know, and like my kids aren't going to want to be with me. You know, which is a real thing.
Like, maybe if you weren't cheating and being a shitty human being, that wouldn't be the outcome.
I don't know. I mean, Eric, it's come out that Eric was not faithful either, at least emotionally. You know, it's like, again, like we're listening to that. We're listening to the state's case in chief, dude.
True.
Like,
we are.
Like,
we are.
You know, let's wait and hear all of it.
You're right.
And you know, it's like, you get that J thing going on sometimes, T. You know, I'm like, all right, take a breath, man. It's like, I hear you. Yeah, like, she definitely could have done this. There's no question. I'm not saying in any, by any stretch of the imagination, she didn't kill her. I'm just saying I'm waiting. I want to hear it all come out. I want to hear all the context because I understand more than most that obviously this is a theory. The fucking state wasn't there. They don't know what happened. They did a shit investigation. They couldn't even, like they didn't collect the evidence. It's like we have these huge gaping holes in the state's case because the cops didn't do a good job on the front end. And we had a cop get on the stand yesterday. And I'm talking about, what's her face? Can't remember her name. She was the one cop who was on the stand. It was like, O'Driscoll's coming today, but she.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Who Amy Richens, who is one of Eric's sisters. You got Amy and you got Katie, had allegedly told her going into the house that she thought that Corey had something to do with this. Mm-hmm. So she goes into the house with the mindset, all right, I'm going to give that the weight that I think that it deserves as a cop, but she's planted the seed, mm-hmm. at least that there might be foul play going on here. So if you're that cop going into that house, I think that, and they got a consent search, and you know, I think that they limited it to the garbage can, you know, but when you have Corey saying that I made drinks and, you know, then we celebrated a bit and then I went into my kid's room. He was having a nightmare. That's where I fell asleep. I came back 3 a.m. to go back to my bedroom and Eric was cold and blah, blah, all that shit. You have to be thinking, okay, well, I need to be looking for the cups that she made the drinks in. And mm-hmm. it never happened. Like mm-hmm. I know nothing about whether it had been in the dishwasher, whether they had already been washed, whatever the case may be. I mean, if the cups are there and they're already washed, to me, that's evidence.
Yeah.
Because if I find out that Corey typically left dishes in the sink and she wasn't right. wanting to immediately wash dishes, well, then that's kind of powerful evidence. Even right. if you're not able to pull the fact that there's fentanyl laced somewhere in that cup when they send it to the lab, it's still powerful evidence. So I mean, man, like, yeah. I don't know. I know what your question was, Teen. I know I got a little far afield, but it's hard to answer because there's so many gaping holes. And I just don't know either of these people in real life. And you know, yes, we're seeing, you know, text messages and certain things from certain snippets of their life, but it's not the whole picture.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know, Bob, when, I mean, they've had a lot of people hit the stand on this, and I'm curious, you know, as a defense attorney, do you typically go into the day, you know, knowing who's going to be on the stand and pretty much scripting out or at least have a really good idea of how you're going to do cross? And at any point, are you kind of thrown and do a lot of improv? And is the improv based on your emotional reaction, other things, the stimulus coming at you from the courtroom, the jury? You know, it's just kind of walk me through. I'm just always curious about how your mind's working in those moments because it's just more layering of burden on top of what your brain is being exhausted by.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's, I love those, like how the sausage are made questions.
I love really, them too. I'm sorry.
it gives people context. Like if you were to go into a court TV chat room, everybody's got pitchforks and torches, like fucking burn her, kill her. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's like, oh, these two women are idiots. I'm like, you know, I like these questions because it kind of flushes out. So you got three defense attorneys on this team, all right? And they got the witness list. And you can tell Ramos is the guy that was handling kind of the science type stuff. And then between Lewis and Nestor, they split up the other witnesses. And they're looking at our, like, so they know going in. You know, no one is being surprised. We don't do trials by ambush in this country.
Right.
You know who's going to be called. So, yeah, you're looking through in terms of what the police reports are saying, if they've had the opportunity to have their investigator speak to a witness and they've gotten more information, that's always helpful. Doesn't often happen, but yeah, you're like, I typically, and Allie, my wife, we would typically bullet point and make somewhat of a script for a cross, knowing who we were going to be handling, you know, and one of the other parts is that the state is playing somewhat nice here in the sense that they're giving the defense the heads up on who they're going to be calling the next day, which is, again, is a big deal because you can, like, they have no obligation to do it. You know, I've been in plenty of trials where the state was, you know, basically like, pound sand, dude, I'm not telling you shit. Good luck. You know, you're guessing on who we're going to be calling, which, as you can imagine, when you're trying to prep going into that trial day, and you know there's going to be anywhere between 4 and 8 witnesses, depending on length, called during that day, and you don't know if you're getting called in terms of my witness is getting called, I got to be prepped. So you're trying to prep your cross questions ahead of time. And then when you get into it, right, when you're in the direct and you're listening and you're trying to take notes and see what the state is asking, you know, and has there been anything that they said that was inconsistent? You know, you're on high alert because those are the things that you have to catch in the heat of a trial with a million things going on and your mind just racing. So, yeah, I mean, there is a fluidity to it. I mean, you want to have your bullet points. You want to have the things that you want to attack going into the direct. But if you're surprised, and there's been surprises for the defense here, yeah. You know, there's been things that have popped up where people have changed their stories. You saw Nestor struggling with it, you know, like last, I think it was week 1 where the witness had, and we're talking about Carmen Lauber, changed her fucking story. There now became a fourth deal, which the defense didn't know about until the first time at trial. And so you've got her trying, and when people were just ragging Nestor, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's okay. I'm like, no, man, like this woman is having to refresh the recollection of a witness who doesn't fucking remember anything on top of trying to impeach her, which is a different thing. Right. So you've got her because she was trying to go back to all of her 7 interviews, 926 pages or whatever it was of transcripts of all the 7 interviews she did with law enforcement to go through to show that at no point in time did she ever tell any of the law enforcement agents that she was talking to that she had ever done a fourth deal. So, but she couldn't remember any of it. So then she had to go through the process of refreshing her recollection and then trying to impeach her. But Lauber would forget what she was just recollected on. So it was like watching it was super painful in a lot of ways, but it wasn't necessarily Nestor's fault in the sense that she was surprised by it. And you have a witness who has basically no memory, you know? So like, that's a really, really tough witness to deal with. So, yeah, I mean, you try to be as prepared as you can. You're always going to be surprised by something when you're doing cross. And, you know, I mean, the golden rule is you just don't ask a question that you don't know the answer to because, you know, that can end in disaster for you.
Yeah.
How do you think it all played out at the end of the day, Bob, with the drug dealers, with the housekeeper and Crozer and the whole chain of everybody explaining, well, none of us really knew it was fentanyl. We all claim it was something else from the Michael Jackson drug to OxyContin or Codeine or depending on the day of the week, what he was buying. How do you think that played to the jury? Because they were fairly unreliable witnesses. They weren't the most credible folks. But at the end of the day, the overall message that everyone pretty much could agree upon was that somebody got Corey really powerful drugs. We don't know. We can't maybe necessarily name exactly what that drug was other than when we do the testing of what killed Eric. But there was a drug exchange between all of these people. When it comes to the defense of Corey Richens, the only way to really tear that down is to say that Corey had no knowledge of any of this and that she never got any drugs from her housekeeper. But there's a lot of evidence pointing to the contrary, like text messages. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you're going to, how are they going to counter this when it's the defense's turn? I know they obviously had cross, but can they go any deeper? Is there any other place to go on this, or is it just let it lie where it's landed?
Nah, I think they're gonna have to dig into it because at the end of the day, it's like, what are these 12 people in the box? Actually, it's 8. I was shocked to find out.
Yeah,
so it's 8 and 4 alternatives or alternates. So it's an 8-person jury, which is always unusual. I mean, in Illinois, it's always 12, you know, unless you do it like a Pettit jury. But so, I mean, it depends on who they found more credible. You know, it's like that thing where people were feeling a certain way about Nestor going at Lauber the way that she did, which I thought she was not being real bitchy or shitty to her. I thought she was struggling trying to get her to remember and recollect things, you know, but people that walked away, the public seemed to feel like that she was like shaming her, you know, like the whole thing with, you know, the fact that her daughter had OD'd, like, people were taking exception to the fact as to why she would have brought that up when it was evident why she brought it up. That it was evident because she needed to show, she being Nestor, that Lauber wouldn't fuck with fentanyl because her daughter OD'd on it.
Yeah,
like, it was a very important point. Like, I don't mess with fentanyl or fentanyl. I don't take fentanyl. I don't deal fentanyl. It ain't my thing.
Like, unless you don't know that that's what's in your stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So like that was important, but people didn't look at it that way. Like, yeah. Like lay people were like, oh my God, like why? And then, you know, the whole thing with the disability, mm-hmm. you know, which was a fair question because she's trying to show that, again, she being Nestor, that Lauber was very susceptible for various reasons. One being the whatever her disability was, which she wanted to know what it was, the learning disability. And she also needed to know about her drug use. And by her own admission, Lauber's like, I've been using since I was six. My brain is basically a cooked egg. Mm-hmm. At this point, you know, and when you're talking about somebody being susceptible to law enforcement, being able to coerce that person, you have to lay that shit out because that's exactly what the defense is saying. The defense is saying they planted the seeds with you. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't write out this statement. She wasn't trying to say, oh, you can't even write. She was saying the cops wrote the statement. Those aren't your words written on there. That's the cops interpreting what you said to them and them writing the statement. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but it doesn't matter how I look at it. It matters how 12 people or sure. people on the jury looked at it. So, man, like, and I thought Crozier, in my estimation, was the more credible of the two witnesses. I just did. You know what I'm saying? Like I thought, and ultimately at the end of the day, I walked away from that not feeling like the state proved that Corey Richens knowingly purchased fentanyl, you know? And it's like, we had that long discussion last week about does the Michael Jackson drug, does that cover him? If she mentioned the Michael Jackson drug, is that enough to meet specific intent? And I don't think that it is. I mean, I would certainly be arguing that in closings. That ain't it.
Yeah.
Specific intent means that she knew she was getting something that if I dosed enough of that particular substance, it was going to kill my husband. My intent was to buy it for the specific intent to kill him. And from neither of those people did I get that, because you have Crozier, who that statement, and I think we covered it last week when you played the clip, or I can't remember. I might have been on a different show where Crozier's not the one who said there was fentanyl in here. The cop said it. Mm-hmm. And then Crozier agreed, but Crozier was very clear. He's like, I was not dealing in fent at that point. I was dealing because it, at that point, the bad fent had already made it in. So, and it was killing people left and right. If you're a drug dealer, dealing drugs that kill your customers is bad business model. So, you know, that it's not going to be something they're going to continue to do. They're going to step back from it and say, okay, I'm not going to fuck with the fentanyl shit. So at that point, he's dealing in hydrocodone exclusively. So that's where you had the M30s. So to me, it's the biggest hole in the state's case, because everything else points to a pretty strong motive, right?
Yeah. I
mean, if the jury is going to lean on the motive alone, and they're going to say, well, you know, I don't necessarily think that the state, I mean, if I'm the defense, I'm saying you can't do it. I know that you want to, because they put on all this evidence that makes it seem as if it happened. The problem is they couldn't prove the most important elements of the murder charge. So you can't find her guilty on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, and that's, again, it's going back to the people. They have to, you're dealing with humans and how they're going to interpret the information. Yep. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or Substack on this segment. We'd love to get your feedback.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.